arrived in Vrindavan yesterday afternoon, and Govinda Maharaj arranged for Vrindavan Bihari Prabhu's wife, which is Vrijbhasa's disciple, to prepare some real Vrijbhasa prasadam. It was really truly wonderful, and I spent the rest of the day resting, talking, taking darshan of the deities, and this morning I just wrote and performed puja, dressed Radha Damodar. Well, you can see on the site their outfit. It's Sunday, so it is golden white, with a red chadar and anchal, and now sitting out in the garden. There's quite a bit of monkey activity going on, and the noise that you hear in the background is the construction in what was once Bhaktistanta Prabhu's home and studio. And now it's been purchased by one of the cloth merchants of Vrindavan, who I think is going to make a guest house here. Hare Krishna. I'm going to read and just say a few words from Rupa Goswami Stavamala, which he concludes, or at least almost at the conclusion, is his Sri Vrindavan Ashtaka. And it's a very beautiful prayer. Here, being in Vrindavan, it has all that much more meaning, and depth can be more easily appreciated. And considering that Rupa Goswami also wrote his poems, prayers, and books here, either at Radha Damodar Temple, or Radha Govinda Temple, or in Terkadam near Nandagram, and other holy places, because the Goswamis would just wander about. They would go from one place to another. And Vrindavan was much different at that time than it is now. I'm just amazed at how much different Vrindavan is when I first came here, somewhere around 35, 40 years ago, than it is now. Buildings, cars, noise. Yesterday afternoon, Govinda Maharaj went out to do parikrama, and half an hour later he returned back, said it was too noisy, too busy. The parikrama, which is all paved, is more or less a ring road around Vrindavan. I'm going to make my sortie this afternoon, but I'll go in the other direction towards Sunra, back road up toward, which goes in the direction of the Agra Road, and that is usually much quieter and most peaceful place. And 450 years ago, Vrindavan was a jungle. There were a few ancient temples that were still here, such as Gopalji Mandir, which we read about in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then the Goswamis had undertaken the construction of some temples, Madan Mohan, Radha Govinda, and so on. And Vaishnavas were coming, and along with them came patrons, whether they're merchants or kings, from Mathura, Rajasthan, who, because of their natural piety, their desire to develop the holy place of Krishna's pastimes, were very eager not only to build temples, but to build beautiful ghats along the Jamuna shore and construct many residences and dwellings here, Barshana, Nandagram, and these residences in which they lived, and they would also visit, would be then the center of communities and a place where naturally they would live, as would their relatives and their servants, and that would be not the beginning, because there was already a flow of pilgrims to Vrindavan, but it certainly enhanced and increased that. That was the Vrindavan of Rupa Goswami, who Srila Prabhupada said they would live under trees, and later they built little kutirs. Even now at night it's quite chilly, not cold, but chilly. And I know what it's like here in December, January, February. It goes down to zero, and sometimes even below zero. Still, Goswamis would live here under those circumstances and take vow never to leave Vrindavan, never to give up their austerity for the comforts of even nearby Mathura, which was already a large city, very famous city at that time. Because Vrindavan is a state of being, it's a consciousness that, when enhanced with the physical place in which Krishna actually manifests his pastimes 5,000 years ago, is like the combination of two different types of chemicals or substances, which together then and enhance each other, or really take form only when they're combined. Like we have experience of superglue. There are two chemicals, neither are they sticky or of any great value individually, but when you combine them together, then it becomes superglue. Glues anything, and permanently. So, of course, the physical place of Vrindavan is of great value. Krishna consciousness, the consciousness of Vrindavan, is also of great value. And when the two things are manifest in the same locale, then maximum benefit is achieved. What does Rupa Goswami say about his eight prayers glorifying Sri Vrindavan? Mukunda Murali Ravashravana Pularit Palavi Kadambaka Karambita Prati Kadambakunjantara Kalindi Girinandi Kamala Kandalan Dolina Sugandhi Ranilina Me Sharanamastu Vrindatavi. May Vrindavan, which is fragrant with the gentle breeze that makes the lotuses and the Jamuna rock to and fro, where there are groves of Kadamba trees and there are many gopis, their hearts blossoming with happiness by hearing the music of Lord Mukunda's flute, be my shelter. Here Rupa Goswami is talking about gentle breezes. They're here right now. The breeze is blowing very, very nicely. The sun is strong. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. The breeze is cool. Lotuses in the Jamuna, yes, those may still be found at the present time, and there are, I don't know how many places, there are many groves of Kadamba trees, but there are Kadamba trees to be found in Vrindavan and the gopis. That requires the type of consciousness that I spoke about. The physical place combined with deep Krishna consciousness, then gopis can be seen. With the right consciousness, one can see Krishna's uppercut pastimes and can see the gopis being attracted by Krishna's flute. May Vrindavan, where Lord Brahma and other Jagat Gurus desire to be born, even as a blade of grass, and which, even though it is a forest, as many thousands of times more opulent, beautiful, charming, and sweet than the spiritual cities of Vaikuntha be my shelter. Lord Brahma, in his prayer, desires to be a blade of grass on the edge of Vrindavan, so that that way he can get the foot dust of the gopis as they come and go. And Rupa Goswami says, this is a forest. When we think about forests, we think about a place where there's soil on the ground, fruits and leaves also fall into the ground. You expect a certain type of rustic beauty, but you wouldn't really quite call it opulent. But here he says, much more opulent than the cities of Vaikuntha is Sri Vrindavan Dham. And if you study the nature of its soil, its fruit, you'll find that it's a type of super chintamani, which the palatial buildings, the very valuable jewels, which are the floors in Lord Narayan's own home and palace, don't even compare to the dust of Vrindavan. The third verse says, may Vrindavan, where the fragrance of the eternally blossoming flower vines fills the goddess of fortune with wonder, and where the bumblebees and the trees filled with very sweet honey are poets who bow down and recite eloquent prayers, be my shelter. Here the goddess of fortune can be taken as the wife of Lord Narayan. She's amazed. Why is she amazed? Why is she filled with wonder? Because she can never see any such thing in the forests of Vaikuntha. There is no such wonder as what is to be found here in Vrindavan. Of course, the greatest wonder of Vrindavan is Krishna. His flute playing, his wonderful pastimes, his extraordinary sweetness. And if we take Rama here to mean Srimati Radharani, Srimati Radharani is also overstruck with wonder at seeing Vrindavan forest. No matter how many times she comes to meet Krishna at midday and at night for all of eternity, still the colors, the aromas, the texture, the beautiful sounds, the birds, the deer, pastime places of Vrindavan always leave her wonderstruck. May Vrindavan, which is decorated with blades of grass that bear the charming, graceful marked footprints and playful toenail prints of the youthful divine couple of Braj, who are as glorious as a moon, cloud, and lightning, be my shelter. This analogy is a very popular one. Krishna is a monsoon cloud, Srimati Radharani is lightning. And here, the special wonder of Vrindavan, which the gopis also talk about, which is the footprints of Lord Krishna. And now, Rupa Goswami talks not only about Krishna's footprints, but those of Srimati Radharani. Because cowherd boy's footprints are there, Balaram's is there, the cows are also there, but when Krishna's footprints are mixed with those of Srimati Radharani, then it's to be understood that the most wonderful pastimes of divine love are taking place. When Krishna left the arena of the Rasa dance, the gopis went to search for him, and they also saw Krishna's footprints and Srimati Radharani's footprints. May Vrindavan, where the moving and inert creatures celebrate a festival of great happiness by seeing the glory of Srimati Radharani's beautiful pastimes, and where the deer taste the nectar of Lord Krishna's sweet flute music, be my shelter. The living entities in Vrindavan are most fortunate. Their fortune is just immeasurable because they have the opportunity to see Srimati Radharani's pastimes. Her pastimes means her pastimes with Lord Krishna, whether it be the trees, or the birds, the bees, the peacocks, the deer, the rabbits. All living entities have the opportunity to see, hear in some way the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and that way they themselves are also elevated to the platform of Madhurya Ras. Madhurya Ras mixed with their own Stai Bhava, but they're also tasting Madhurya, because everyone and everything in Vrindavan is touched by this extraordinary sweetness, which fully manifests from Krishna only when he's in the association of the gopis. May Vrindavan, where the peacocks sleep and dance, to see the Prince of Raj, who is more charming than a host of monsoon clouds, and where the doves, birds, and flowering vines become jubilant to hear Srimati Radharani proudly claim the forest as her property, be my shelter. There's an argument that's repeated in Dandgati and other places in Vrindavan, where the proprietorship of Srimati Radharani over Vrindavan is established. Is Vrindavan Krishna's property? Is it Radha's property? Ultimately, by quotation of Shastra, the use of strong logic and argument, Krishna has to concede that yes, Vrindavan is Srimati Radharani's property, and he himself is also Brijbasi, a resident in her land. May Vrindavan, which is splendid with the expert skill and lovers' quarrels of Srimati Radharani, the best of all virtuous heroines, and which is the witness to the gracefully dancing feet of Lord Krishna, the teacher of fine arts to the three worlds, be my shelter. In order to enhance loving exchange between Radha and Krishna, there has to be quarrel. Devotees have understanding of this. Grihasthas know that relationships become all that much more savory when there's some contradiction, when there's some quarreling, when there's argument, because after that argumentation, then making up is so much nicer, and it adds to the sweet taste of that love. And of course, what else is Vrindavan very famous for? For Krishna's rasa dance, in which Krishna exhibits something that Lord Vishnu, Lord Narayan, what to speak of Lord Varaha or Lord Nrisingadev never do, and that is his extraordinary dancing. Dancing with the gopis at night, dancing with the cowherd boys when they're out tending the cows. These dancing footprints of Krishna, they're the best of all types of footprints. And as mentioned earlier, Krishna's dancing footprints mixed with the dancing footprints of the gopis. Vaishnavas dedicate many lifetimes of devotional effort just in order to be able to have darshan of such wonderful imprints in the sand of Braj. May Vrindavan, where is Govardhan Hill, which is fortunate to be the best servant of Lord Hari, and where is the Rasa Dance Arena, which fills the beautiful gopis with wonder, and where is the splendid sweetness of many charming forest groves, be my shelter. It's always ending here as Me Sharanam Mastu Vrindatavi. May this Vrindatavi is another name from Vrindavan. That may this wonderful Vrindavan be my shelter. Take shelter of Vrindavan. Live in Vrindavan. Always think about Vrindavan. Chant the holy name of Vrindavan. Being in Krishna consciousness means living in Vrindavan. And if one cannot live in Vrindavan physically, then the acharyas explain fine, they can live in Vrindavan mentally. And whether our physical location is in Europe or America or Asia or wherever, still, if the consciousness is right, then Vrindavan will be there. Rupa Goswami concludes, a person who resides here in Vrindavan, whose heart is free from sin, who controls his senses, who always stays with the devotees, and who carefully reads these 8 verses which bring to the mind the transcendental virtues of Vrindavan, the best of all forest gardens, will attain love for and enjoy transcendental pastimes with Lord Krishna. So this is our aspiration, and here this is how we should reside in Vrindavan. Here in Boma Vrindavan, or anywhere else in the world. Heart free from sin, control senses, stay with the devotees, and carefully meditate upon Vrindavan.